Hello, I'm Martin Kelly, senior editor at Friends Journal, and with me is Stan Becker. Now, Stan has many hats. He's a population scientist at Johns Hopkins University in the School of Public Health, and he's also a friend at Homewood Meeting, and he's been involved with Friends Committee on Unity with Later, now Quaker Earth Care Witness, and the American Friends Service Committee, and the Friends Committee on National Legislation. Thank you, Stan, for coming on with us here.
Thank you. Glad to be available.
And in addition to all this, he's also written an article in the current Friends Journal here, One Friend's Experience of Queerness Regarding Childbearing. Now, I'm exhausted just saying all this. How do you have time to do all this is a good question. And one of the reasons, perhaps, is that you've made conscious decision about childbearing. So tell us a little bit about how you came to this.
So when my wife and I decided to get married, we were in a Brussels meeting in Belgium, and the Clearness Committee asked us about children. My wife has a child from a previous marriage who was 11 at the time, and we said we hadn't decided. I work in population, and my wife had health problems with the first pregnancy, so she was, you know, ambivalent, and I was ambivalent. And then, so we had some searching. We didn't have a Clearness Committee. The marriage clearness was approved, and we were married, actually, here in Homewood, because that made less time for visa things in her case. It would have been a six-month delay if we'd married in Belgium. Anyway, the clearance was there and the marriage was here. Mm-hmm. But then we were reflecting on whether to have children or not, and met with a couple, and the story I tell there about most couples with children celebrate their children's birthdays every year, and this couple celebrated vasectomy day. Mm-hmm. And it came to me, since I'm a population scientist, that, you know, we're really rapidly expanding human population and decrease in other species on the planet, and that if I could do without children, then why not? And, you know, the sex drive and the reproductive drive are very strong in humans as other species, so it had to be a conscious decision, and my wife and I made that decision. And we haven't really regretted people. There are quite a few people without children in the world or in the U.S. these days, and it's more accepted than it used to be. Used to be people thought something was wrong with you if you didn't produce children a few years after marriage, and that's still true in many parts of the world. But we felt accepted, and so we stayed with it. And it does give more time, definitely, watching... our daughter has married and has two children, and so watching them spend lots of time, it's not just diapers and things, but they're very conscious parents in terms of being with the kids, seems 80% of the time or whatever, but so I can see from their experience that it would have cheated my wife, because I work internationally and had travel to Africa and Asia and those sorts of things, that it would have cheated her if we had had children, and some that cheated the children and her. So we feel good with the decision.
Sure. Well, I can personally attest. I do have children, and one of them still in diapers. So travel is very difficult, and you know, I've had to make life choices around what I can and cannot do, and that's certainly, you know, there are plenty of sacrifices there. That's part of it. But it's, you talk a bit about child rearing as a vocation, and we should consciously choose it.
Amen.
I'm sort of fascinated about the idea of you're almost, well, let me back up. So you talk about the story of Johns Hopkins, who was a childless Quaker who devoted his fortune to the university at which you worked. And there's this idea of, like, teaching is sort of parenting. That you're, you know, as a parent, I try and teach my children values, but as a teacher, and Johns Hopkins leaving the money to the university, you're sharing that. So is that also sort of a way of being a parent in the world, that's not just biological, it sort of transcends biology, perhaps?
It feels that way. I have graduates from, that were my advisees, doctoral advisees, mm-hmm. who are all over the world now, one in Dakar, I know, one in Ghana somewhere, and one at the United Nations now, that are doing very well, mm-hmm. and... partly because of the training they had here, and they'll say as much. They appreciate the demographic training they had under my tutelage, and so yes, without having children is hard to compare, but certainly as parents feel proud of their children, I feel proud of these graduates going on in their careers. And we have a couple here. We hired one back in the department. It was my advisee, and it's great to see. And, you know, they get to a certain stage, they can even correct me sometimes, right?
Sure, sure. Hopefully, yeah.
as children, I guess.
As children, do that too, right? Yes, biological children. So tell us some of the reasons why parents should, or potential parents should, think about children or not think about children, sort of some of the population issues that you start off the article with some of the statistics. So why would this be something we should think about?
Well, you know, in Quaker Earth Care Witness, we've had this, we try to walk lightly on the planet, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, we change our light bulbs and we drive less and all these nice things. But really, if we think about the impact we're having on the planet, certainly in this country, the most important thing we can do is have one less child.
Mm-hmm.
Because that footprint just multiplies. And, you know, I mean, short of living out in the woods or something, most of us have a middle-class existence, and it takes lots of energy and CO2 and all those things. So given that we're in the state we are in the world, it seems appropriate to try, and as friends, to make sure it's a calling. And this is why the quarterly meeting had this thing about having clearness committees for parenthood. Now, mm-hmm. in this country, we consider having children or not a very personal and a couple decision, but that's the other point I make in the article, that it's not really. We're influenced by our peers and by our parents and all kinds of influences on us. So it's good to bring those out and have a clearness committee. Like I say, I didn't have one because it's not really advertised. When I talked to the meeting, they at some point afterward, we made the decision. They said, well, any couple can ask for clearness for anything sort, but you know, unless you specifically say, we have clearness committees for those considering additions to their families and wanting to make a responsible decision, then couples don't really know about it or don't avail themselves of it. So, and as I say, I have been on clearness committees for adoption. That is one that seems to be accepted in meetings, that couples who are thinking about adoption often seek advice from other friends and in the format of a clearness committee often. But, yeah, so certainly the statistics are that, you know, when I was born, we were 2.5 billion on the planet, and now we're over 7 billion.
Yeah.
And the problems Europe is facing with the refugees from Turkey, from Syria and Iraq and so on, is only going to get worse. You know, that we're talking about a country like Nigeria with 180 some million, and if they have a food shortage there, where are they going to go? Well, you know, lots of folks in West Africa would like to come to Europe, and some of these, I think, are already across into Spain and Italy and those places. Anyway, so the numbers are huge in terms of, and the footprint, as countries, their economies get better, then the footprint gets bigger too. So unless we have a turnaround very soon in terms of alternative sources of energy and those sorts of things, we're in pretty deep trouble. And I do worry about the future for my grandchildren now. Given the projections from the IPCC or whatever, that doesn't look good. Even if we started some very severe things now, and the drought in California is another example. How many, and we don't talk about the population thing. That's the problem in this country. We talk about the drought, but the fact that California is adding, what, 1 million people a year or something, 800,000, kind of goes unnoticed. Some people are starting to take notice now. If you have a limited resource, like water, until we desalinate better, then we've got to recognize that there are limits.
Right. It's at a certain point, the water won't be coming, and you can conserve as much as you will. But you have to see that. Have you had any clearness committees? I think my own clearness committee for marriage, they did ask about children. And I was sort of a little surprised and like, what, you're asking about this? But they wanted to make sure we were on the same page, which was very helpful, and I was grateful for that. But the typically for friends, I think, you know, we have a clearness committee and then they spit you out on your own, and you don't talk about sort of this corporate responsibility for anything else Then even, you know, if you have marital problems or you're, you know, adding kids or you lose a job, that's still, we don't really have a mechanism. So have you had a sort of post-marriage clearance committee? You said adoptions you've had.
Oh, well, my wife and I were on a clearance committee for a couple that wanted to adopt. Mm-hmm. For ourselves, no, we haven't had, is that true? I've had for my travels, I had an oversight committee.
Okay.
And in some sense, that was clearness about my wife. The meeting made sure that my wife was on it, so I didn't travel too much.
Uh-huh. Very good. Yeah.
Anyway, so they acted as clearness in some sense. There was one situation I went to Indiana yearly meeting. We had thought this is a little separate from childbearing, but we had thought it would be good to labor with the yearly meetings that oppose anything about population in the FCNL, what's it called, their statement? The FCNL, can't remember now. Anyway,
we can put it in the show notes at the bottom of this.
Yes.
Look it up. Yeah.
Okay. Yes. They're so. So I called and they said, "Well, if you're coming from another yearly meeting, you have a traveling minute. Then of course you can come ahead." And I got there and asked if I could put up the display that we had. We'd taken to the gathering and brought it back down to Indiana. And they said, no, there was plenty of space, but there was a bureaucracy. You have to ask this person. This person said, ask this person. And finally got back to the same person, and he said, okay, you can put it up there. And they had taken it down by that night. And they gave some story about there was they were having a reception or something, but didn't offer to put it back up or anything. So obviously they didn't want this information. Well,
sure.
The point, the clearance committee helped there in saying that maybe you should only go where you're invited. So my oversight committee acted as a clearness committee. Of course, that's problematic in the sense if we, you know, preaching to the choir sort of thing, it's where you're invited and people are in unity with it. And right. And there's still problems in Indiana yearly meeting about things like abortion. They associate population and abortion as the problem. And it is true that population groups typically are supportive of right to choose. So that link is there. Planned Parenthood is an example. But we do need to labor with folks who feel differently than ourselves. But that's a little sideline. That's kind of a clearness that I've had. But
it is interesting, though, from a larger sort of Quaker culture that we don't have clearnesses for any sort of this past marriage. It's so rare. And
yeah,
we don't really support couples and such.
I did have one at a job transition time way, way back before marriage. And I've served on one. There was one after a marriage. They're important to have. And our ministry and council or ministry and worship committee is open to receiving requests for people who are retiring or whatever. Oh, I sent you those queries for retirement too. That's a big stage in one's life, and one ought to be clear about doing it and what to do after and those sorts of things. Mm-hmm. So, yes, it's. My sense is clearness committees are an underutilized resource.
Okay, so at Homewood and maybe Baltimore, anyone who needs one can go to Stan, and we shall.
Go to Ministry and Worship.
Go to Ministry and Worship, right?
I recommend to people, and I've said it in worship several times that we need to support each other, and one way to support each other is to offer clearness committees for folks who feel they need it. Now, we can't drown Ministry and Worship with requests, but on the other hand, you know, there's only three or four times in one's life probably when it might be important, and to help each other seems very important.
Yeah, sort of a core part of any kind of faith community.
Yeah.
To do that. That's great. Well, thanks, Dan. We're running out of time now, but you can all go to the current issue and read Stan's article, and there's comments on the bottom, and you can comment on this video and keep the conversation going there. So. Thanks, Dan, for being with
Thank
us
you.
From John Hopkins.
Well, very well. Thank you.
And we'll see you again soon.
Sounds good. Bye-bye.